The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the second chapter. Now, after the wise men had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Now, when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. "A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more." When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after having been warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee, and there he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled: "He will be called a Nazarene." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. As I said, none of you would have said this was one of your favorite gospel lessons. It's a text that comes about every 3 years, and try as we like, we cannot avoid it. It is there. It just seems to come way too soon. We have just celebrated Christmas, and I know in your Christmas Eve was filled with songs about the holy infant, so tender and mild, and the little town of Bethlehem that sheltered him. The story that you heard on Christmas Eve was Luke's depiction of a young mother giving birth to her firstborn son, and angels greeting the shepherds with words of peace on earth and goodwill to all. I know your evening with Pastor Dunkel was a beautiful and hope-filled evening and a celebration. And then we come to the first Sunday of Christmas, and it feels a little bit like we've lost our innocence, that we've lost the innocence of Christmas with this reading, which is what makes the transition to this harrowing reading from Matthew so very, very jarring. Had I been put in charge of the lectionary, which I wasn't, of course, I would have tarried a bit longer at the nativity story. And given that this is the year of Matthew, I would have at least inserted the first part of the story that we read today, the part that we know so well, that we will hear next Sunday, that of the Magi making their way to Jerusalem to present their gifts to the baby Jesus. This would have extended the Christmas feeling just a week longer and given us a chance to sing "We Three Kings" to boot. But we're going to sing it next Sunday on January 5th, We're going to celebrate Three Kings, observe Three Kings next Sunday. But I was not put in charge of the lectionary, so here we are. So we skip the more familiar and enjoyable part of the story to get to the scenes we would rather forget. The flight to Egypt and the slaughter of the innocents. In some ways, when I come upon this passage, even though I know it's coming every 3 years, I do feel a little cheated that Christmas has ended abruptly and we've been shortchanged. But you know what, my brothers and sisters? At the same time that we might feel a little bit shortchanged, the reality is this biblical story was chosen for this time, and it fits right in with our world, sadly to say. As I'm flying home, I'm beginning to hear news from the United States, which I had not heard for 10 days while I was gone. And the anti-Semitic shootings that took place in Muncie, New York, at the rabbi's home as they were celebrating Hanukkah. So the story really does still tragically fit our time and our day. And it makes it so chillingly timely. The horrors we've experienced throughout 2019, and I'm sure we will experience in 2020, are not new. And nor were they new in Jesus' day either, for that matter, as Matthew's story of the Herod slaughter of the innocents deliberately calls to mind Pharaoh's execution of Jewish children in Exodus 2, which is, I think, part of Matthew's point. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And so the God that we meet in Jesus is not exempt from the tension, the fear, the violence, and the horror of our fallen world. And God's full-on embrace of the most difficult parts of our life story reminds us that this world is not just fallen, but also beloved. When I was ordained, a retired pastor and a parishioner gave me a print from a woodcut depicting the Holy Family's flight to Egypt. And what made this particular rendition distinct is that they were not alone. Instead, the Holy Family was surrounded by a group of refugees, reminding us that in this story of forced flight, God in Christ identifies with all who have been driven from their homes by threat of terror, all who have been displaced by violence, and all who fear with hopes for but just a little assurance of a better future, which is what we all want. And when you think about it, Emmanuel, God with us, wouldn't really mean all that much if it was only God with us during the tender moments, during times of celebration, during the Christmas Eve services of our lives. Yes, those moments of joy are gifts from God, and it's right to give God thanks for them. But if we're glad that God is with us in times of rejoicing, we're desperate to know that God is also with us in times of grief and loss and fear. This reading is tough to hear less than a week after Christmas, but I think for this reason, it is also important. And Matthew goes even further. For God is not only with us, God is also for us, promising to bring us through the difficult times to the other side. If not unscathed, nevertheless, still victorious. Matthew structures this passage around prophecies, demonstrating that even the darkest portions of Jesus' story turn within a larger narrative of God's providence and protection. This is not to say that all these events are simply part of some larger, if rather dark, plan, but rather to remind you and me that nothing that happens to Jesus, or by extension to you and to me, is beyond the bounds of God's love and activity, and cannot be redeemed and even used by God. God is with us, with you and me, even in the darkest times. And God is also for us, promising not only to accompany us through the difficult times, but also to bring us to the other side, that in time we might know the fullness of joy that is life in Christ. Actually, not a bad message to hear on this first Sunday of Christmas. And in this sense, perhaps it's not too soon. Maybe we needed to hear it just in the nick of time. God, Emmanuel, is with us in the good times, the difficult times. Amen.